And we're holding on Vav Amar Aleph, top line. The Mishnah had said after it listed the four Ovos Nezikin, and after it mentioned Loi Harei this Kare that, meaning that everyone, as we learned yesterday, has unique features that make it that we can't really learn one of them from another, or even we said we can't learn most of them from a combination of two of them, although we said yesterday that Rava had pointed out that that if you combine together Bur with one other one, then you could learn out most of them. Anyway, after the Mishnah had gone through all of that, it said at Sada Shavu Shebehen, they all have in common Shadowk and Lahazik, that all of them commonly cause damage. All of them are things that regularly cause damage, or Shmiras and Alecha, and therefore you're obligated to guard them and prevent them from damaging. And then if they do damage, then you chayav to pay. So when we say at Sada Shavu Shebehen, the Gemara asks Lasuyim Mai. What is that coming to include? In other words, in the sense that if the, once the Mishnah has mentioned that point, that all of them have that each of them has a unique feature, and then it says Hatzada Shavu Shebehen Shadowk and Lahazik, implies there are other kinds of things that Dowk and Lahazik, and also they have that in common with this, that Shmiras and Alecha, that you're required to guard them. So what is an example of something like that, something else that's not in the category of one of these four things, and still is Dauk and Lahazik or Shmiras and Alecha. So it comes to include a rock or a knife or a load. A person put them on top of his roof. They fell down in a normal wind, and they caused damage. So if it was a non-normal wind, and you couldn't expect it to come. We're not talking about, let's say, for example, that there's a hurricane forecast and you still left it out, but we're talking about where you had no way of knowing that all of a sudden a strong gust of wind is going to come, then fine, you can call that an onus and your potter. But when you have, you put them on the roof and they fell down in a normal wind, so then we say a person will be chayev for such a thing if they cause damage. Rashi uses the expression over there that Rashi uses the expression over here that they fell down and they injured a shur, or they and they injured a shur or a chamer. Why Rashi mentions that point rather than just saying that that it caused damage in general, you could have, let's say, for example, well, actually, later, actually, Rashi's going to mention that point of Shur and Chamur later on when we talk about another possibility. But anyway, the point is that so now you have the Avnei Sakinu Masoi fell down off the roof and caused damage to a person or to something or whatever. So we're saying so that wouldn't necessarily be included in what the Mishnah says. Well, the Gemara says, why not? Hey, chidomi, what exactly is the scenario? If these things cause damage as they're falling, so the rock falls on somebody and on someone on a person and then and bangs them in the head, or it falls on an animal and injures it, hainu eish, then you shouldn't consider it a separate kind of thing. Then that's basically a subset, that's a tolda of eish. Because after all, let's consider. What is unique about Eish? We said before that you have a different power mixed in, namely, unlike all the other Ovis Malachas, which happen on their own, Eish requires wind in order to make it happen, in order to make it spread. And the Eish itself is your mammon. Okay, strictly speaking, we learned the other day, Tosfos says the Eish doesn't have to be your mammon in order for Tiyur to be Chayev, but practically speaking, it often is. Ushmirose Alacha. And you're responsible to guard it. Well, hani nami. Well, the same thing with the rock or the knife, etc. There's another koyach involved. If there hadn't been the wind, they would have stayed up out there on the roof, and nobody would have been harmed by them. Now they fell off because the wind knocked them down. So you have koyach, they're your property, and you're responsible to guard them. So why should we have to say that the Mishnah is implying by the by using the words by using the words atzada shavu shebehen shadowk and lahazik or shmiras and alecha, that it's including that kind of thing? We don't need that. We already established that all the ovos of our Mishnah have toldos, and Eish is one of the ovos, hever, as the Mishnah had called it, burning, and what and this would be a tolda of it. The elabusa de naichi. So are you talking about that they cause damage after they fall on the ground? So after they, so you're not talking about the rock didn't hit somebody on the way down, but now it's lying there in the street next to your house, and now someone, and now somebody trips over it and gets injured. Well, then it depends. We talked about the other day, and we're going to talk about it in more detail in the third parak. Suppose a person leaves, suppose something leaves some kind of obstacle in the road, and then he's master it. So you have a machlokas. So actually you have a machlokas if he wasn't master it, what happens? So if he's master it, then we learned the other day, and we're going to learn more in the third parak, that definitely would be like a burr. And if not, then you have a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, whether it counts as burr or whether it counts as something else. So idafkirenu. So if after the rock or the knife or whatever fell down, you were master it, and therefore you didn't take it away, and therefore somebody ended up tripping over it, then bein l'rav bein l'shmuel hainu bur. Well, wouldn't that be exactly both according to Rav and Shmuel? They're arguing about if he wasn't master it, but if he was master it, both Rav and Shmuel would agree that is a tolda of bur. And therefore he's going to be chayev for that, in the sense that maishna bur, because after all, what's unique about bur? Shekein tchilas asiyasi l'nezek. To begin with, it's made in a way that can cause damage, because unlike all the other, we learned this before, unlike all the other avos malachos, an animal habitually eats, fine, but it's not first created for nezek. And the same thing with the same thing with keren, and the same thing with regal and the rest of them. But when it comes to a burr, to begin with, you're making a burr in a shosarabim, and to begin with, it was made for nezek. It's something that you have to realize. It's something that an animal is going to be prone to fall into if it's not paying attention, and therefore you have to cover. Therefore, you have to cover that burr. And the burr is your mamon. Again, strictly speaking, it doesn't exactly have to be your mamon. He was saying you were master it, or even if to begin with, when you dug it, it was in Rosh Hashanah and it was Hefker. But the point is, you were involved in making it, Ushmirasin Alacha, and you're responsible to guard it. Hani Nami. Well, you could say the same thing with the rock or the knife, etc. Tzvila Sasiyasin L'Nezek. To begin with, when they fall down, Beruach Mitzuya, and they're lying there in the street, to begin with, they're a hazard that can cause a Nezek. Umamoincha, and it's your moment, or it was until you were master it, Ushmirasin Alacha, and therefore you're responsible to guard it. So that being the case then, so it would be exactly bur. So there'd be no reason for the Mishnah to have to include it with this extra phrase, atzada shava shavahem. Ela deloy afkirinu. So we have to say, okay, well, maybe you're talking about the knife or whatever fell down and you were not master it. So now, now you have a machlokas Rav and Shmuel on that subject. If you leave a hazard in Rosh Hashanah and you're not master it, on what grounds are you chayim? Is it bur or is it something else? Well, the Shmuel d'amakulam ibur l'amanu hainu bur. At least according to Shmuel, since he says that regardless whether you were mafkir or not, he says you learn from bur that it's chayim, whereas Rav says that not. The difference is a bur is hefker because you dug it in Rosh Hashanah, which doesn't belong to you in the first place. Therefore, Rav holds that the paradigm, the initial example of burr has to be something which doesn't belong to you. So Shmuel says it doesn't matter whether you were machmir or not. Either way, we learn from burr. And Rav, on the other hand, argues that no, if you're not mafkir it, then it's your mamon, and therefore it would be similar to shur, or similar to some other avnezikin. In any case, so according to Shmuel, that we learn them from bur, then again, hainu bur, then isn't it exactly bur? Because according to him, it doesn't matter whether you were mafkir it or not. So what is the scenario that Abaya is telling us? You have this case of Avnei Sakini or Masoi that you put on top of your roof, and they fell down Beruach Mitzuya, and they caused damage. We seem to have covered all the possibilities, whether it caused damage while it was falling, whether it caused damage after it's already lying there in the street. And we seem to have covered everything, no matter what. It seems to be covered by one particular Av, either H, as if it damaged while it's falling, or burr if it's sitting over there. So what does the Mishnah mean? That Hatzada Shavah Shebehen, that you have to have a type of nezek that you need a combination of two of them to learn out that it would be that you'd be chayim. And the answer is la'olam da'afkarinu. In fact, we can be talking about where you were mafkir them. V'loy domu l'bur, yet you could argue that after all, this avnei sakinei masoi are not exactly like a bur. Because malabur, shekein en koyachacham oraboy. Because again, when it comes to a bur, how did the bur come to be? There was no other koyach involved. You went and dug the bur, and now it's a hazard over there, and an animal might fall into it. So how would you compare to the Avnei Sakinei Masoi? How does it get there in the first place? You didn't put it in Rishus HaRabim. It fell down from your roof into Rishus HaRabim. So you could argue it's not completely. So you could argue it's not completely like birth. So then you would say Eish Techiach. Well, then you would say in that case, then prove to the contrary from fire. With fire, you have Koyachacha Ma'uraboy and you Chayev. So therefore, just because you have Koyachacha Ma'uraboy is not a reason to exempt. But then the question would be Mala Eishik and Davka Leila Cholahazik. The fact is, fire normally moves around and causes damage. Toma Bahani. After all, fire moves around and causes damage. Here, the damage that's being caused by the Avnei Sakinei Masoi lying there in Rishus HaRabim is not something that moves around. It stays in one place and it causes damage because it's a hazard on the road. So then you would say, Bur Techiach. Then you would say, well, you can prove from Bur, which is exactly the case, where Bur is Chayev, V'chozer Adin, and therefore you'd go back and forth, and you'd say, in other words, so how would you know that if this Avnei Sakinei Masoi of yours are lying in Rishus HaRabim, having previously fallen off your roof, how would you know that you're Chayev, if an animal trips over it and gets injured, you would learn that from a combination of Bur and H. You would say it's not exclusively like Bur, but it is mostly like Bur, but it's not exclusively because it came about through koyach acher. So you need to invoke esh where there's koyach acher and you still chayev. And then at Sada Shava Shebehen, they both have this in common that they're both your mumun and that they're both your mumun and shmirase alecha. There is, in this connection, there is an interesting machlokas we showed him. Now we learned yesterday that each of the four Ovis Nezikin has unique dinim that don't apply to the others. We said as far as Bur, for example, you're only chayev if an animal falls in there, not if Kalim or a person fall in there. We said as far as Eish, you're potter for Tumun if something is hidden. If you had, for example, a haystack that was set on fire and inside it were Kalim or something. So now there's an interesting machloikas. When we're saying over here that this thing, this Avnei Sakinei Masoi, you're going to be chayev only because of a combination of Eish and Bur, does that mean that it would have the dinim of both of them? So therefore you'd be potter for Kalim as well as you'd be potter for Tumun. Or would we say, so say, for example, you had a box in Rishus HaRabim that got damaged by this thing, you would say that, so Kalim would be potter in general, and then you'd also say, let's say there's something, let's say you also have a case where an animal trips over it and there's something tumun inside the animal. I don't know, let's say the animal previously swallowed something and whatever. Anyway. So maybe not. Different Rishonim discuss that. The fact is, we are saying you need to learn from both of them. On the other hand, we're saying primarily it is a type of bur. We're saying only as far as that little detail, the fact that koyachacha ma'uraboy, do we need to invoke H? So maybe we should consider it basically like bur. So fine, you'll have a patur for kalim, but not necessarily are you going to be potter for tumun, because for the most part, you're not learning from Eish. You're only bringing in Eish as kind of a side point to deal with that matter of koyachacha ma'uraboy. So it's a machlokas on that topic.
Also, because you see differences in each one, it's not as if could you say, oh, if I would learn
from... Well, that's what we said yesterday, because that's why we needed to list out the Ovis Nezikin, even though, as Rava had said, we could have had Bur plus one other one, and we would have learned all of them from that, but nevertheless, we still listed all of them because each one lehuchasehen. But now we're talking about, again, when the Mishnah had said, atzada shava shebehen, there's something in common between all these Ovis Nezikin, and from that, we can learn out other things that are not implied in the Mishnah, and now we have this example of Avnei Sakinei Masoi, so we're saying, basically, it's Bur, but we also need to invoke Eish in order to learn it out. Otherwise, we would have said we can't learn it exclusively from Bur. So we would still say, though, according to many Rishonim, that basically it is like Bur in the sense that the dinim of Bur rather than of Eish will apply to it. Okay. Rava Omar. Rava says here's another possibility. Tosfos, by the way, points out that you also have that with a, you, there's another difference as well between Bur and Eish, namely mice of Gor and between these Avnei Sakinei Masoi, mice of Gor Muloi. When it comes to Eish, you can talk about you lighting the fire. Is that considered that your mice caused the damage, or is it no, because only because the wind came and blew it did the damage happen? So depending on how we look at that, then we could also, that would affect this discussion over here as well. You could say, for example, that when it comes to burr, you could say mice of Gormuloi, you dug the burr, therefore you created the hazard. And the same thing over here with Avnei Sakinei Masoi, you could argue, now when it comes to Avnei Sakinei Masoi, you could argue in that sense they're more like fire. Your mysim did not directly cause that this rock is now lying in Rosh Hashanah Aben, because it took the wind to move it there. Without the wind, it never would have stayed on top of your roof.
The stone fell.
But we're talking about, it didn't just fall because of gravity. It fell because the wind pushed it off the roof. So that would be similar to you lighting a fire and then the wind pushing it and causing damage. So
it's also wind, which is not normal.
That's what we're, no, you were talking about a normal wind. But the point is, in other words, that Tosfos says that if we take that view, that fire is not considered mice of Gormoloi because it's not exclusively his mice, then the Gemara could have pointed that out over here. But when we're saying Koyachacham Uravoi is a stronger thing. Because then we don't, if we said mice of Gormuloi, then we also have to bring in Shur and discuss by Shur, it's also not mice of Gormuloi and yet Yuchayev. By saying Koyachacha Ma'uraboy, we can limit ourselves to discussing only Eish and Bur, where Bur is, there's no Koyachacha Ma'uraboy and Eish there is. All right. Rava Amar, Rava says, here's another possibility. Here's another thing the Mishnah can be implying that we're including is a burr that rolls around with people's feet or with animals' feet. So in other words, not like a bias example where you have something that was on your roof and then a wind knocked it down and now it became a burr. Rather, you're talking about something that to begin with, you put in Ushas Rabin. So you created a burr over there. However, then it didn't stay where it was. People or animals kicked it around as they were walking and eventually it went someplace else and there is where it caused damage. So now it's not exclusively your mycin. Now, by the way, many of the Rishonim say, well, not necessarily Abaya and Rava and the other Amiroyim we're going to bring over here are not necessarily disagreeing in Halacha. Rava will agree that in Abaya's scenario, a person is Chayev, the person who put the Avnei Sakinei Masoi on his roof. Abaya will agree that this case, a Bura Misgalgal, would be somebody is going to be Chayev. We'll talk about soon. Tosfos talks about who exactly is going to be Chayev. On the face of it, you put it there, but on the other hand, somebody else brought it to someplace else. So maybe that other person should be Chayev, at least for a certain extent. We'll talk about that soon, what Tosfos has to say on it. But anyway, the point is, they're not necessarily disagreeing with each other on the halacha. They're just saying, each one, when the Mishnah is saying, what scenario is the Mishnah coming to include with that, which needs to be learned out from a combination of the others, rather than, for example, in other words, a biased scenario, Rava might say, you don't really need two others, you don't really need to learn it from two others. Basically, it's a type of burr. Similarly, Abaya might say about Rava's case over here that basically it's a type of burr. So therefore, you don't need a tzada shava in order to learn it. With that said, Rabbeinu Chananel at the end of the sugya brings, after we bring all the Amoroyim, and one of them is Ravina. He says the halacha is like Ravina because he's Basra, because he's the latest of all of these Amoroyim, and we know from Abaya and Rava's times and all, we generally pass him like Basra. So that would imply that according to Rabbeinu Chananel, they're actually arguing on the actual halacha in each of these cases, whether you'd be chayev and who would be chayev exactly. All right, anyway. So Rava says, if you have Bura Misgalga, Buragla Odma, Buragla Behema, so you put a rock in Rosh Hasarabim and it never caused any damage over there, then somebody kicked it someplace else in Rosh Hasarabim and there an animal or whatever tripped over it. So again, the Gemara asks, Hei Chidomi, but what's the scenario? If he was mafkirit, then like we said before, bein l'rab, bein l'shmol, hainu bur. Both Rab and Shmuel would agree that a hazard that you leave, a nezek that you leave in Rosh Hasarabim and your mafkir is like bur, because as we said, maishna bur, shekein tchilas asiyosi l'nezek, because the beginning of it was made for nezek, because to begin with, a burr is a hazard as soon as you make it. Ushmirase alacha, and you're required to guard it by putting a cover over it or something. Hani nami tchilas asiyas on the nezek ushmirase alacha. So why should it be any different? Why do we need a tzadah shabbat to learn it when it's clearly a tolda of burr? El of deloy afkirinu, and are you going to say you're talking about you weren't master the rock? Well, like we said before, the Shmuel drama kolam in bur lamadnu hayna bur. Well, still according to Shmuel, it's still going to be considered a bur because Shmuel, we said, doesn't care whether you are mafkir or not. Either way, he says any hezek that you leave in Rishus Rabim that people or animals could trip over is called a bur. So therefore, according to him, it's still bur. And the answer is lo olam dafkirinu. In fact, we are talking about where you were mafkir it. V'loydomi labur. Still, we could say it's not exactly identical to a bur because malabur shekin mice of gormoloy. Because when it comes to a bur, you have you yourself dug the bur, and your mice directly caused. Therefore, that now an animal fell into it and got killed or injured. So how do you compare with this? Where it's not his maisim didn't cause it. It's only, because again, as long as this rock was sitting where you originally placed it, nothing happened. Then an animal or a person came and kicked it and it moved someplace else and there it caused damage. You can't call that mice of gormoloi. So you're going to say, sure, yechiyach. Okay, well, you can prove to the contrary from the shur. You didn't do any maisim. The shur itself went and caused nezek. And you're still chayev. So you would say mal ashur shekein dauker leilachol hazik. The fact is, on the other hand, ashur is often goes and causes damage. Now it's fine. We said that keren is a bit of an uncommon kind of damage, but still, whatever kind of damage ashur causes is still more common than a burr. In fact, the Gemara points out later on in the Masechta, really, when you get down to it, if you have a burr b'shus rabim, why should you be chayev in the first place? A person certainly should be careful where they're walking. Even an animal, doesn't an animal notice holes in the ground and stay away from them? And the Gemara talks about it. In fact, you'd have to be talking about, let's say it was at night, or the animal was blind or half blind or whatever, or crazy or whatever. Yeah. At night is another example. Yeah, so you could argue. So in that sense, a shur is maybe more common, is more likely to cause hezek than this moving bird. So bur techiach. So you would prove to the contrary from bur, because the fact is a bur stays in one place and you're still chayev. And again, chazer adin loyde izek irize. And each one therefore has a unique feature that the other one doesn't have. But what do they both have in common? Atzada shavah shemahen, as the Mishnah said, shadarkan lahazik shmirasan alacha. So therefore, Rava says the Mishnah would be implying that in this case you're also chayev by a combination of shur and bur. So the scenario would be you put a rock in Rishus Rabim, you were master it. Later on, somebody went and kicked that rock and moved that rock someplace else, and it caused damage. So you're going to be chayev on the grounds of a combination of shur and bur. And again, you'd have the same machlokas rishonim. Does that mean that the dinim, the unique dinim of shur and bur, would apply to it? So would we say, for example, that the first three times you're only paying chatzi nezek, like shur, and that you're potter for people being injured by it, like bur? Or would we say basically it's like bur, and we're only bringing in shur because of this little issue of mice of gormuloy or not? Now, Rashi mentions that when Rava first brings up this point of bur hamisgalgal, Rashi says there were gersois, there were manuscripts of the Gemara that had the words similar to what we had by Avnei Sakinim Asoi, where the Gemara asked, what's the scenario? Are we talking about where they damaged while they're moving, or are we talking, in other words, that somebody kicked the rock and it banged into something else and injured it, or are we talking about that it causes damage only after it's sitting over there and somebody trips over it? Rashi says we're not gersois that. Will only gird us the question of whether you were mafkir or not. And Tosfos explains that Rashi's point is based on the idea that if you're going to say that it caused damage while it was moving, then you're going to have like this. If a person kicks it, you can't be machai of the person who kicked it, because the Gemara talks about later on in the Masechta, people don't always have to notice exactly where they're walking. A person knows he's going someplace. He's not necessarily looking out for hazards that he shouldn't kick. So therefore, you can't be mechayev him for kicking it. as far as the person who put the rock over there in the first place, it's a matter of you would say, if anything, you would consider it like ruach mitzuya, which would be similar to eish, like we said before. So therefore, that's so Tosfos explains that's why Rashi doesn't want to have those words in the Gemara. However, Tosfos says that no, you could actually say that what the Gemara means is that the one who actually kicked it might be chayev if it caused damage while it's flying in the air, because that would, even though it's true, ain't daukan shom b'nei adam leisbonin b'drachim, people don't always have to look where they're going, but you don't expect a person to be walking with such force that he's going to kick things around in the Shasar Abim. Ain't daukan shom b'nei adam leisbonin b'drachim means, let's say you're walking along, somebody had previously placed, let's say somebody had played the example in the third parak, is let's say somebody had previously placed barrels in the street, and you bang into them, and you knock them, and you knock them over and break them, so you're not chayev because ain't daukan shom b'nei adam leisbonin b'drachim. But to go to the extent where you're going to kick the thing and send it flying, and it's going to fly into something else and cause injury, that we can be mechayev of the person who was megalgal it. So Tosfos says, then the Gemara, we could keep those words in the Gemara, and the Gemara would be asking, in that case, though, the point is, you who put the rock there are not necessarily going to be chayev. The one who kicked it, if anything, is going to be chayev. And Tosfos goes on to discuss this point. Sometimes you do have. We're going to have examples later on in the Masechta where you have a joint ownership of it, not really a joint ownership, but a joint responsibility for the nezek. Where you have an example we're going to have later on in the Masechta. For example, you dug a bur b'shoset abin. So Reuven dug a bur in shoset abin. That Shimon's ox is walking by, and Levi's ox pushes Shimon's ox, and it falls into the bur. So who's chayev for the damage? So it's a combination of Reuven and Levi. Reuven because without the bow there wouldn't have been damage, and Levi because without his ox pushing, then Shimon's ox wouldn't have fallen in. So in a similar vein, Tosfos talks about over here that sometimes you can have this kind of thing as well. If you have, for example, if you have two people that are involved in a nezek, then sometimes you can have both of them share jointly or proportionately in the amount of hezek. We're going to have examples of that later. Anyway, the point is, Rav is saying this is another example of something that's mentioned that's not explicitly one of the Ovis Nezikin, and in fact, you have to learn it from a combination, in this case, of Bur and Shur, and still Yuchayim. Rav Ada Ba'ava Amal Asur Yaha. Rav Ada Ba'ava says the Mishnah with the words Atzada Shavah Shabbat Shadakan Mahazik is coming to include another case. We learn in a Detanya, we learn in a Braisa, Kol Elu Sha'omru. All the following that the Chachamim said, now like this, normally, of course, you're not allowed to cause a hazard in Rosh Hashanah Abim. You're not allowed to dig a burr in Rosh Hashanah Abim and not cover it. You're not allowed to put a rock in Rosh Hashanah Abim that people or animals can trip over. But the Braisa is going to say there are cases where the Chachamim do give you permission to cause a hazard in Rosh Hashanah Abim, namely, poskin bibeisehen. You have people who open up their drain pipes and let them drain out into Rosh Hashanah Abim. So you have so exactly that. You have a biv is another word for a tziner. So it's a pipe that brings water, that brings wastewater out of your house, and you're directing it out to Rosh Hashanah Abim to let it spill out. Like you have the rain gutters that come off people's roofs or whatever. The gofin ma'orisehen. You also have an example that people have a cave which contains water. We have throughout Shas we have bor shiach ma'ora. A ma'ora is where you have a water pit that's roofed over. And so you have over time dirt and whatever collects in there, and every so often you have to clean it out. And where you're going to put that zevel, where you're going to put that dirt and filth and whatever that came to it, you're going to put it out in Rosh Hashanah Abim. So be moisa chama in lahen rishus. During the summertime, when the roads are dry, you have no rishus to do that. The roads are dry, they're free of obstacles. You have no business creating an obstacle in Rosh Hashanah Abim. But during the winter time, the roads are all wet and muddy anyway, so you're not really adding anything extra by adding your wastewater over there. So therefore, you have rishus. But the braisa continues, afa pisha b'rishus, even though you do have rishus, im hiziku chayav l'shalem, if they cause hezek, if somebody does slip in your water or whatever, you will be chayav to pay. And there is, in fact, a machlokas aposkim. Do we say that once you've spilled out that water, you're actually responsible to sit there and make sure that nothing happens until it dries up? You have the Lavush holds that yes, the Smeh holds that no. Anyway, the point is that so now like this, Heichi Domi. So what's the so again, let's figure out what's the scenario. Ibahadi to Kaazli Mazgi, if the water is causing damage as it's flowing. So in other words, you have your pipe. You have your pipe putting out water into Rosh Hashanah, and as the water is coming out, it splashes on somebody and makes their clothes dirty or whatever. Then that would be considered his koyach, because that would be considered his koyach, just like we talked about the other day. For example, if you open up a gate in a dam and water comes pouring out, for example, you could have, it talks about Sanhedrin, where a person does that and the water directly floods somebody and kills him, then that would be considered koychoy, it's directly his koyach, and in that case, he'd be chayev miser, in our case, he'd be chayev for the nezek. Ella Bosa de Nayach. So you're talking about after the water landed in the street, later on somebody came by and tripped. Well, Heichi Domi. Again, what's the scenario? Idafkirinu, if you were mafkir that water, like we said before, Bein L'Rab, Bein L'Shmuel, Hainu Bur. Then we already established both Rab and Shmuel are going to agree that that's a Bur. Maishna Bur, Chilas Asiyos of a Nezek. Because after all, what's unique about a Bur? It's first made for Nezek. To begin with, when you make it, you have the hazard there. Unlike we said, all the other Ovis Malachas, when you have a Shur, it's not an immediate Hezek, only if the Shur decides to cause Hezek. Firewall, so only if the wind carries it. Bur is unique among them, that tchilas asiyos of the nezek, the very beginning when you made it, you already have a hazard over there. And it's your mom, and then therefore you have to guard it. Haninami tchilas asiyos of the nezek, umamoincha, ushmirasa alacha. Ela deloy afkirinu. Well, then are you talking about if you weren't mafkir it, well again, according to Shmuel, who says regardless we're learning from Burr, then according to him, this water that you drained out into Rosh Hashanah and now somebody came and tripped over it is going to be considered a Burr, so you're going to be chayim. So again, where do we need a tzada shava to say that you'd be chayim? And the answer is in fact, we are talking about you were mafkir the water, but still, you could still say it's not exactly like a burr, because malabur shekain shaloi b'rashus. Because with a burr, when you first dig it, you have no rashus to be making a burr in rashus harabim. Now, Tosfos points out that you could have a case where a person to begin with is making a burr in rashus harabim with rashus. You have, for example, later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about what? Other regal, let's say, for example, yeah, you could have where a person is digging a pit for the sake of the rabbim, and then he has permission to do it. Nevertheless, Tosfos says he doesn't have permission to be mafkir it then. So that would still be considered that that's his responsibility. Instead of being mafkir it, he should be putting a solid cover over it. So therefore, we can still call it that it was shaloi b'rashus, toime b'hani de b'rashus. So how do you compare to these, where after all you have Rosh Hashanah? The Chachamim told you that you can have your drain pipe drain out to Rosh Hashanah because the winter time anyway and the roads are all muddy. So therefore it's not exactly like Bur. Then you would say Shur Yechiyach. Okay, well, you could prove to the contrary from Shur, because Shur, you have the Shus, you not only you have the Shus to own a Shur, you also your Shur is allowed to walk in Rosh Hashanah, and yet if your Shur causes damage of any kind, then you chayev. So we see it doesn't matter whether it's Shus or not, but you could say Mal Shur can dauke leilo chalahazik. On the other hand, a Shur moves from one place to another and causes damage, whereas this bird that you created with the water in Rosh Hashanah is not. And you would say, Bur techiach b'chazer adin. So you prove from Bur that nevertheless you're chayev. And again, you go back and forth, and there's your tzada shava. So there's another example of what the Mishnah means at tzada shava shebehen, that you be chayev in this case only because of a combination of the dinim of Bur and Shur. Tosfos points out now among the things we said before that Shur includes, one thing we said that Shur includes shame, where the animal Shur includes regal, where the animal tramples on something and damages it. Now, regal does not apply in Rosh Hashanah. In fact, it applies only b'Rosh Hashanah. Sheinosa, for that matter. They only apply. We talked about the Shusa Nizek, that only if the animal ran into somebody else's property and trampled or ate or whatever, are you chayav. So in that case, what do you mean birshus? You have no right for your shur to go into somebody else's property in the first place. Tosfos says, fine. But let's say the animal is walking in Rishus HaRabim and it kicks up the and kicks up pebbles, tzurus, that we talked about the other day, and then and they fly into Rishus HaYochid and cause damage. Your shur had every right to walk in Rishus HaRabim. Still, the damage was took place in Rishus HaYochid and your chayev. So therefore, we can say that you have an example where your shur is acting b'rishus and still it caused damages of regal or shein and your chayev. So therefore, we can still say that that shur is called birushus in the sense that you had the right to own the shur and you had the right for your shur to walk in Rishus HaRabim and still you chayev for any consequences from it. Okay. Ravina Omar. Ravina says here is a fourth thing that we can say that we learned from the Tzad HaShava in our Mishnah. It comes to include this that we learn later on, that we learn actually at the end of Bav Metzia. If a wall or a tree that belonged to somebody fall into Rishus HaRabim, v'hiziku, and they cause damage, and again, we're going to talk about in a minute whether we're talking about they damaged as they're falling or whether we're talking about they damaged after they're lying over there in the street. Anyway, if they fell into Rishus HaRabim, v'hiziku, and they caused hezek, potter milashalem, the owner of the wall or of the tree, at that point is potter from paying because he didn't yet know that the tree or the wall is dangerous. So therefore, when it fell, Tosfos actually brings a girsa. Tosfos brings a girsa that says he would be chayev, but Tosfos says no. It's one thing if they warned him, as the Mishnah is going to go on to say, but if they didn't warn him that this tree or this wall is in danger of falling, then you can't be mechayev him at all. It would be an onus. So Tosfos prefers the girsa, which Rashi and the Rif also have, which is that he's potter in that case. However, it continues the Mishnah, Nosnolai Zman Lokot Ilan Velisteris HaKoisel. If Beistin gave him a certain deadline by which he has to cut down the tree or tear down the wall, so in other words, it was known to be a dangerous one, it was known to be an unstable tree or an unstable wall, and they told him you have X amount of time to remove it, and he didn't. So then they fell down. They fell within that deadline, the Hiziku, when they caused damage, also potter. Then he'd also be potter because, again, the fact is they told him he has X number of days to remove it. So therefore he figured, and based on obviously he's not going to stamp, make up a random number. They're going to figure how much time it takes to hire workers and to get the thing arranged. So therefore, if it happened during that time, it's still onus and he'd still be potter. La'achar zman chayev. But if it's after the time, then he's chayev because by that time he should have removed it. So now we have to consider. So now Ravina is saying this would be another example of a hezek that you need a tzad hashava. So again, the Gemara asks, hey chidomi, well, why? What's the scenario? Eid afkara. If we're talking about that before the wall or the tree ever fell, he was mafkir them. And now they fell down. Well, again, bein l'rab, bein l'shmol, haynu bur. Well, again, wouldn't that be exactly the case of a bur? Maishna bur dehezeke motzu shmerasen ala, or shmerasen alacha. A bur very commonly causes damage, and you're responsible to make sure that it doesn't. Hani nami hezeken motzu or shmerasen alacha. So therefore, so you'd be chayiv on the grounds of bur alone. If again, in the scenario we're talking about where Beistin gave you 30 days, let's say, to chop it down, and you didn't do it during the 30 days. Instead, you decided, you know what, I'm just going to be math to it. And then when it falls down, it's not my problem anymore. Well, then you've created a bird. And in fact, Tosfos says, you know, when he planted the tree, it wasn't considered a pshia after all. He has every right to plant a tree. But once they told him that he needs to chop down the tree, then at that point, he's considered a pesheya. So this is the equivalent of mafkir nechosav la'acha nefilas pshia. We're going to talk about later on in the Masechta. You can have an example, let's say, where a person, you can have an example where a person is walking in Rishus HaRabim carrying something. He fell down ba'onus, for example, he tripped over a hazard that somebody else previously left there. And then he drops his thing and it becomes a new hazard of its own. So then if he's mafkiret, then we can talk about it. He's potter because to begin with, when he fell, when that hazard of his was created, it was ba'onus, and therefore he has the right to be mafkiret, and we can't necessarily hold him responsible for that. So in other words, let's say he's walking down the street. holding a glass jar. He trips over another hazard in Rosh Hashanah, and he drops the glass and it breaks. Not if he's mafkir those glass shards, not necessarily is he going to be chayev for anybody else that gets injured by the glass. Because to begin with, the bur was created ba'oinus. He didn't mean to trip. It was ba'oinus, and he was mafkir it after that. So that would be fine. Here, though, Tosfos says, on the other hand, if he dropped it b'pshia, then sure, he's chayev whether he was mafkir or not. So here, since they told him he needs to chop down the tree and he didn't, then that's considered pshia. Therefore, even if he was mafkir the tree before it ever fell, that would he'd still be chayev for it. So if he's mafkir it, then that's exactly the case of bur. Tosfos also deals with the case. Are we talking about that they damaged as they're falling? Or are we talking about they damaged only after they fell and somebody tripped over them? Now, on the face of it, while they're falling, we should say, like we said before, that would be like ish. That would have the dinim of fire. But Tosfos discusses on various grounds that not necessarily would that be so. Here we wouldn't necessarily compare it to fire, and in fact there could be cases even where he would be potter, namely that he didn't know, let's say, that it fell down, and if we didn't clear it away right away. But Eish, on the other hand, is again there's koyach acham ura boy, whereas here there's not. Here all there is gravity made it fall. There's no koyach acha really to talk about, so therefore it can't really be similar to Eish. Anyway. So again, if he was mafkir it, then it's like bur. Idaloy afkirinu. And if he was not mafkir the tree or the wall before it fell down, well, again, l'shmul d'amakulam mibur l'manu hayna bur. Still, wouldn't it be considered a bur? Just like Shmuel says, that it doesn't matter whether you're mafkir or not. So again, why do we need a tzad ha-shava to learn that you're chayiv in that case? And the answer is l'olam d'afkirinu. In fact, we can say you were mafkir it. Still, v'lo domi l'bur, you can still say it's not exactly like a bur. Mal bur shekein techilas asiyos of the nezek, because a bur, to begin with, is made for nezek. Again, as soon as you make it, you have a hazard. Tremem b'hani shekein techilas asiyos of the nezek. Here, when it comes to the tree or the wall, when you first planted the tree or the wall, they weren't made for nezek. So therefore, you can't learn it exclusively from Burr, but you would answer back, Shur Yechiyach, well, prove to the contrary from Shur, where it's also not Tchilas Asiyos in the Nezek, and you're still Chayev, because to begin with, the Shur is not hazardous. But you would say, Mal Shur Shekein Dauke Leilach Olahazik. On the other hand, the Shur moves and causes damage. And you would say, Burr Techiyach, and you prove to the contrary from Burr, which stays in one place and causes damage. And again, Bechazer Adin, you go back and forth, and you have the Tzad HaShogah. So that's another example, says Ravina, where you have a type of hezek where you only know he's chayav by a combination of two ovus nizikim. So we have four examples. Like that. Again, Rabbeinu Hananel seems to understand that the Amoraim are actually arguing with each other on the halacha, and therefore he says the halacha would be like Ravina. And according to many other Rishonim, they're not actually arguing. Each one is just giving a different parallel scenario where you need a tzad ha-shava to learn it from. And again, is that negeya that we would say, therefore, the dinim of both others apply to it? Or would we say basically the din of the main av applies to it, and we only have the second one in order to finish the tzad ha-shava? That itself would be a machlokas as well. So in this last example over here, if we're learning from a combination of bor and shur, does that mean that it has the coolest of shur that it only applies that he only pays chatzi nezek the first few times, or would we say that not? It's basically considered like bur, and you don't have that kula, and so forth. Okay, we said in the Mishnah shehizik chov hamazik. We said when the nezek has been caused, then the mazik, the one who caused the hezek, whichever kind it is chayev to pay. So the Gemara asks, Chov HaMazik, why is the expression Chov, shouldn't it say Chayev HaMazik? The usual expression is Chayev, that he's obligated to pay. Now, Tosfos points out there are actually two different related concepts over here. You have the concept of Chiyuv, and you have the concept of Choyva. Chiyuv means you an obligation. Choyva means a detriment. So when you have, for example, you have the expression in chavin la'odim shaloi b'fanav, then you can talk about that. Then there's no problem using the word chav. The Gemara doesn't ask why we don't say in chayovin la'odim shaloi b'fanav, because the word chayev is not chayev, but there it's chav. It's a detriment. Same thing, when a person owes money to somebody else. But here, the Gemara is bothered by that the expression should be chayev, he's obligated to pay. And instead, why is it saying chav, which implies that he has a debt to pay? And the answer is, Amr of Yehuda, that's what it is. Chav really means a debt. Chayev means an obligation. So they're very similar, but why is the Mishnah using the lashon of a debt rather than an obligation? And the answer is, Amr of Yehuda, Amr of Yehuda, Amr of Hai Tana Yerushalmi. The Tana of our Mishnah came from Yerushalayim. The Tani Lishna Kalila, he uses a shorter lashon. So in his style of lashon kodesh, they would use the word chav for both of these kinds of things. They tell a cute story in this connection with the Rogachover. The Rogachover, as we know, one of the things he kocht zichin a lot was the Yerushalmi. So one time he was also one of the two Rabbonim of the city of Dvinsk. He had the city of Dvinsk. There were Chassidim and there were non-Chassidim. The Rogachover was the Rav of the Chassidim in the city, and then the Ur Sameach, or Meir Simcha, was the Rav of the non-Chassidim in the city. And they both got along, both Kehillos got along, but each one had their Rav that follows their respective Shittis and Halacha and so forth. Anyway, the story goes, one time two Jews come to the Rogachover for Din Torah or something. The Rogachover at that point is in the middle of working out a difficult Yerushalmi, and he says, you know, I don't really have time for you right now. I don't have the head for that. I'm busy with this. So they leave and they go to Rameir Simcha and they tell him what happened. And Rameir Simcha says, you know, you have exactly what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara over here is saying that the Tana is a Yerushalmi, and therefore what happens is instead of Chayev, he has Chav, meaning that he left out two Yuds. Well, he says the same thing. The Rogachover was in the middle of a Yerushalmi, and therefore he left out two Yudin.
Oh,
he left out two yidden, and he said, I can't have you over here. And, Anyway, a little milsa de b'dichas over here. Okay. Anyway, going on, the Gemara says, L'shalem tashlumi nezik. Now we said, what is the mazik chayev? He has to pay for the nezik. And the Mishnah had said he has to pay b'meita v'oretz. He has to pay from the best of his land. So now we're going to get into talking about today and continue tomorrow, but Be'ez Hashem, what this business is, what we mean exactly. It's going to go into Daf Ches, actually, dealing with the details of what it means to pay for meita. So, Tana Rabbanan. Now, the Pasuk says like this, Meitav Sadehu or Meitav Karma Yishalim. So the Pasuk describes that when a person causes damage of Shein or Rego, when his animal goes and eats and grazes in somebody else's field or eats his fruit or whatever, or when his animal goes into somebody else's field and tramples. So we said, the Pasuk says, Meitav Sadehu or Meitav Karma Yishalim, he has to pay the best of his field or the best of his vineyard. So the best of whose? Meitav Sadehu Shal Nizek or Meitav Karma Shal Nizek, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says it means that he has to pay according to the best of the field or the vineyard of the nizik. Now, it sounds like Rabbi Shmuel means that regardless, you're always having to pay the value of the best quality land. In other words, it sounds like, and the Gemara is going to ask about this in a second, it sounds like Rabbi Shmuel was saying, if your animal went into somebody else's property and ate and then grazed over there, even if the area that it grazed in was not Idis, was not the best quality, you're going to be required to pay as though it had eaten in an area of Idis, which the Gemara is going to ask about that in a minute. What's the logic of that? Anyway, Rabbi Akiva says, no. Loi bar kosev ela ligvus l'nizok in mina Idis. The Pasuk is only coming to tell us that a nizik, that a person who was damaged by a nezik, the victim of the nezik, that he receives from Idis, but kavachoyma lehektish, and a kavachoyma that hektish gets from Idis. What he means by hektish, we're going to talk about at the end of the Amud. We'll learn about it tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. But the point is that so what exactly is Rabbi Akiva saying? Obviously, Rabbi Akiva is arguing somehow with Rabbi Shmuel, but what exactly is the nature of their argument? So that we have to figure out. So Rabbi Shmuel, ochel shmena mashalim shmena. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, we can understand if the animal ate in a portion of the field which was very fat and very, very fertile, then sure, you have to pay that equivalent amount. So it ate the grass or whatever, the produce that was growing in an area of the field where all of that would have been worth $100 and now it's not, then therefore you have to pay $100. Fine, we can understand that easily enough. But is it logical that if it went and ate from a weaker portion of the field, you should have to pay the value of a shmena? Why? You only caused $70 worth of damage. Why are you having to pay $100? In fact, Tosfos says there are actually two ways that you can understand the question. You could say, what's the logic that he should have to pay more? You could say, another way of looking at it is, if the animal eats shemena, what are you paying? Exactly as much as it's worth. So what's the logic that if it ate kosher, you should have to be paying more than it's worth? If you're not making him pay more by shemena, why are you making him pay more by kosher? And the answer is, the scenario would be the animal went and ate in one plot of land in the field among a whole bunch of others. You don't know what was the nature of what was growing over there. Was it kosher? Was it shmeina? So he ate, well, the point is, we're not just ate the whole thing up. But let's say, for example, that you have, imagine, for example, let's say, you could have a simple scenario. You could have Reuven's and Shimon's and Levi's animals went in there, and each one grazed in a different area, and now you don't know which one did Reuven damage and which one did Shimon damage, and so forth. So then you would say, Rabbi Shmuel would be saying, Demashalim Shmena, then you're going to make him pay for Shmena, because we have to assume that maybe it was. But Rav Amar Rava, what do you mean? Ma Ilya didn't kosher achal. What do you mean? If you knew for a fact that he had eaten from a kosher, from a weaker one, loy mashalom el kosher, then for sure you would make him pay only a kosher, because there's no logic to say that he would have to pay more. You're telling me that Rabbi Shmuel is saying that if he ate, that if you're not sure, then you make the owner of the animal pay for a shmena. Why? Just the opposite. You want to say that you should be paid for a shmena. You have to prove that my animal is the one that ate the shmena. And you can't prove that, then it's not my problem. So how can Rabbi Shmuel possibly mean that? So before we get to the answer, Tosfos points out, now what made the Gemara misunderstand Rabbi Shmuel so much? What makes us even think that Rabbi Shmuel would think that there could be a scenario where ochal kosher mashalim shmena? And the answer is, because since Rabbi Akiva is, what is Rabbi Akiva saying? He doesn't explicitly say how he's arguing with Rabbi Shmuel, but what he says is, Loi ba'ak kosov ela ligbus the nizikin min idis. The pasuk is only coming to tell you that a nizik gets paid out of idis. Now, what does that imply? Says Tosfos, that Rabbi Akiva understands Rabbi Shmuel to mean that not only is the Torah saying that a nizik gets idis, but that a nizik maybe even gets more than what than the actual amount of the damage. Therefore, the Gemara assumes that that's what Rabbi Shmuel means, because that seems to be how Rabbi Akiva understood it, and therefore how he reacts. That no, Loid Ba'akosim, the pasuk is only coming to tell us that the payment is done out of idis, but not that he gets more than what he was than the damage. Therefore, the Gemara was thinking to try to find a scenario where Rabbi Shmuel would say he actually gets more. But so far, we said we can't seem to find such a case. The Netziv, by the way, points out a very interesting thing. He says, why does the Gemara use the example over here of Ochal Shmena? Why not just say more generically Hizik Shmena? You could equally talk about where the animal went into the field and trampled one area of the field. And he says, because what did we say in the Gemara? Reb Idi Ba'oven was suggesting that there might be a case where you might have to pay for Shmena because you're not sure whether it was kosher or Shmena. Now, if it was a matter of regal, if it was a matter of the animal trampling, even Reb Idi Ba'oven would not hold that you have to do that. Because what's the logic? Why should we assume that the animal trampled shmena more than kosher? When it comes to eating, though, we're more likely to assume the animal is more likely to be attracted to the shmena than to the kosher. Therefore, there might be a logical basis to say that we should assume that your animal ate the shmena and you're responsible. And Rava says, no, the fact is, I'm motzi mechaver al avaraya.
No,
the animal, it may not know it won't know the dollar difference, obviously, but it's going to know. It's going to see that these are healthier and stronger and fatter or whatever. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. El Omer of Achav Yaakov Hochav Mayaskin. The scenario, what we mean, where Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva argue, would be Kigoin Shahoisa Idis the Nizet Kiziburis the Mazik. Suppose that the Mazik owns property, but the best quality of his is the best, or the other way around. Both the Nizik and the Mazik own property. The best quality land of the Nizik is only equivalent to the Ziburis of the Mazik. Meanwhile, the Mazik has much better fields. So now the question is, what does he have, if he's paying with land, which kind of land does he have to pay out of? So v'ha pligi, Rabbi Shmuel sava b'dinizik sheminin. Rabbi Shmuel says we go according to the nizik. Therefore, so the nizik's best land, his idis is something that's worth $100 an acre. the Mazik, has land that's worth $200 an acre. Doesn't matter. He can pay it with land that's worth only 100 an acre, even though for him it's Ziburis, because for the Nizik it's Idis. Rabbi Akiva is saying that no, when he says loy boakosiv elaligvus the nizakim in idis, he means that no, regardless, the nizak always has to get the idis, meaning the idis of the mazik. So he's going to understand. In other words, Rabbi Shmuel is going to say mate of sadeo, mate of kama yishalim, means you, the mazik, have to pay in accordance with the mate of sadeo or mate of kama of the nizak. So you have to figure out what is the most expensive kind of land that the Nizak owns, and that kind of land is what you have to give.
Even though
for you, that's your worst quality land. But on the other hand, Rabbi Akiva is saying that no, it means mate of Sadeo, mate of Kama. So Mazik means that you, the Mazik, have to take your best land and give him an appropriate amount of it. Obviously, though, it's going to be, if this land is where, if you have land that's $100 versus $200 an acre, and the hezek was $200, then obviously you're going to be giving twice as much of Ziburis as you would of Idis. So the dollar value is always going to be the same, but after all, a person would prefer to have Idis. So that would be the machlokas. Tosfos points out, by the way, it can't be the other way around. You can't say, let's say, that the Mazik only has, that the Mazik's best property is Ziburis relative to the Nizik's, then for sure there'd be no argument. Even Rabbi Shmuel would not say that you, the Mazik, are required to go and buy Idis in order to pay the other guy. No, then you're just going to pay with what you have. Your Idis is worth only as much as his Ziburis. That's all you have. So that's all you have. We're going to talk about later on Zion Amud Beis and Chesam and Aleph. We're going to talk about those scenarios in more detail. You could have a case where the Mazik owns only Ziboris and then he's paying out of Ziboris. The Pasuk says, Metav Sadeho, Metav Kamei. This is your Metav. Yeah. So therefore, the Gemara had to say the scenario over here, which is that the Nizik's Idis is worth only as much as the Mazik's Ziburis. So now the question is, does the Mazik have to pay out of his own Idis, or is it enough that he pays out of his own Ziburis? That's the Machlokes. So the Gemara says, my time is Rabbi Shmuel. Why does Rabbi Shmuel say we go according to the Nizik's Idis, and therefore, according to him, this Mazik gets away with giving his own Ziburis? He says, because twice in the pasuk you have mention of a field. You have kiyave ish soda ikerem, a person damages a field or a vineyard by letting his animals in there, and then the pasuk said that says mate of sadehu or mate of kamer yishalim. So therefore, mas soda the soda in the first half of the pasuk is the soda that belongs to the nizik, because that's where you let your animals loose in. Af soda. Therefore, the one in the second half of the pasuk also has to refer to the one in the nizik. So what does that mean? It means you're paying in accordance with the equivalence of value of the idis of the nizik. It's your own ziburis. Doesn't matter. That's what the pasuk is saying. V'Rabbi Akiva, what does Rabbi Akiva answer to that? He says, no, mate of sedeo, mate of kami yishalim means the eich to kam yishalim. The fact is, the pasuk is saying you have to pay from mate of sedeo, mate of kami. Yishalim obviously refers to the mazik. Therefore, mate of sedeo, mate of kami also has to refer to the mazik. Never mind that it says twice sodeh in the pasuk. The fact is, the context of the words sedeo and kami makes it clear. We're talking about the sedeo and kami of the mazik. V'Rabbi Shmuel, so what does Rabbi Shmuel answer to that? He says, okay, I agree that you have the context of the pasuk, but still, the fact is you have the gzeira shava. So he says, ahani gzeira shava v'ahani kura. So therefore, you have to both the gzeira shava and the context of the pasuk are both teaching us something. Ahani gzeira shava k'dkamina. The gzeira shava accomplishes what we said, that you go according to the nizik. Ahani kura. What are we doing with the context of the pasuk? As you're saying, Rabbi Akiva, would be going to isle l'mazik idis v'ziburis. Suppose that the Mazik owns Idis and Ziburis, the Idis Lenizik. Meanwhile, the Nizik owns only Idis, the Ziburis the Mazik, Loy Shavya ki Idis the Nizik. Now, suppose the Mazik's Ziburis is not worth as much as the Nizik's Idis. So then, what are we going to say? So if it was worth exactly as much, then Rabbi Shmuel is saying that then that's fine. You can use that. But now that it's not worth as much, the Meshalim Lemi Mate of the Day. That, Rabbi Shmuel says, then I agree, he's going to have to pay out of his own Idis. He can't say you collect from Ziburis, because in this case, you, the Mazik Ziburis, is not worth as much as his Idis. So therefore, Ella Govi Mimetav. Therefore, Rabbi Shmuel says that's the scenario where the Pasuk is saying, Metav Sadehu, Metav Karmi Shalim, that you, the Mazik, have to pay with your Idis. Now, your Idis is worth a lot more than the other guy's Idis. But on the other hand, your Ziburis is not worth as much as his Idis. Therefore, since you can't pay him with Ziburis, you have to pay him with Idis. But if they were equal in value, if your Ziburis was equal to his Idis, then yes, you would be able to pay with your Ziburis, says Rabbi Shmuel. That's what the Kavah Choymer, that's what the Gzeder Shava from the word Sada tells us. Okay, so that's the machlokas therefore between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Whether we do that, do we say that you can pay with your Ziburis, or do you always have to pay with your Idis? When we have a machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, the halacha is generally like Rabbi Akiva, and that's how it is over here. So regardless, you're paying, regardless of Rabbi Shmuel's point about the Gzeder Shava and the context of the pasuk, we follow Rabbi Akiva and we say you're always going to have to be paying with your Idis. And then the Gemara is going to deal with, we'll deal with tomorrow, Best Hashem, what Rabbi Akiva means about when he said his statement about Hekdish. And then once we finish that, then we're going to go back to this matter of Idis and Beninus and Ziburis, and we're going to start working out all the details of that, what you pay in each of various scenarios. Mm-hmm.
Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva
were chaverim. Oh. They were chaverim. They were eventually both among the Asar Arugim Malchus. But
why do we say that?
We have the concept called Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mechaveroi v'loy mechaverov. When Rabbi Akiva is arguing against one individual Tana, the Halacha is almost always like him. When he's arguing against the Chachamim in general, then not. So here he's arguing against one Tana, Rabbi Shmuel, therefore the Halacha is like him. Okay.